Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, November 26th, 2021, and this week we are discussing the outlook for energy markets post-COP26. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, sometimes timing can be everything, and you've been making the case that the current price and supply crises in energy have been somewhat more commanding in shaping near-term energy decisions than climate concerns. Can you contextualize this for our listeners, please?
Thanks, Una. So yes, despite being the most anticipated climate event since the Paris Agreement was put together back in 2015, discussions at COP26 in the end took place against the backdrop of security of energy supply concerns and high prices that threatened to derail a global economy from the worst economic shock in a generation. So in the age-old dynamic of time and bearings, energy issues often feel like they hurt today, whereas climate is commonly framed as one as more of tomorrow's problem. Now, this has material implications on the speed and the nature of associated decision-making as consumption peaks and phase down on embedded fossil fuels are perceived to occur over year and decades, whereas high retail gasoline prices, spiking consumer energy bills and knock-on effects on industrial activity are very much in the here and now. When it comes to energy and climate change, of course, patience is everything and nothing happens overnight. Investment cycles are typically long, policies take time to form and be implemented, and action on the ground often only then follows. However, high prices put more immediate pressure on decision makers to deliver quick fixes. And in a bit of a paradox, concerns around taking action on climate often stem from perceptions of high costs, exactly what the world is currently experiencing. Now, heading into 2022, we view that we are faced with the prospect of more of really everything, that is, fossil fuel consumption returning towards pre-COVID-19 peaks, accelerated renewables rollouts, and potentially high global emissions on a dual track of aiming to keep the world moving, but also tackling climate issues, a trend that doesn't lend itself to winning on all fronts.
And drilling down into the details, what would you say has been the major stumbling block beyond the near-term energy crisis, Essan?
So, you know, for us, the polarizing views on how to tackle the issue on energy and climate were most explicit at several stages of the conference. The most explicit for us being the emerging markets and developed markets split, which is as wide as it has ever been. So emerging markets, for their part, have lower historical cumulative emissions footprints, are seeking to improve energy access and satisfying growing energy demand. Meanwhile, developed markets are experiencing slow energy demand growth, or indeed falling in some cases, and have a better financing starting position from which to launch ambitious investment programs to push decarbonization. Also, the complex issue of the scale and nature of the developed markets to emerging markets climate financing was one which featured heavily in COP26 negotiations without substantial new commitment. Now, this could signal that the energy transition takes very different contours across global markets, as it is more of an energy substitution effect to drive decarbonization in, say, Europe, but it represents a layering of new energy forms on top of existing sources of energy to meet growing demand in many emerging markets, say. And what unites almost all camps is a growing concern over energy prices and supply. For example, China has sought to secure coal supply at any cost. Natural gas prices have caused alarm in Europe, and the US is grappling with politically sensitive high gasoline pump prices. Now, for us, conviction towards tackling climate change is undoubtedly higher in developed markets. Indeed, we believe it is challenging to envisage current events shaking the world to push Europe towards net zero by mid-2050. Now, it would not necessarily be an easy ride to legislate and enact, but the political capital appears to be committed. More broadly, we envisage a more delicate and fragile balance in emerging markets where domestic priorities differ, where national energy resource endowments can play a large role in the policy process, and where there is still robust energy growth that needs supplying. Finally, On this, a core piece of the puzzle that is often not well highlighted is that of ways to curb global energy demand growth to help the decarbonization equation, which one of the features of this is energy efficiency. And in a recent update, the IEA points out that such activities are only half of what they need to be in order to help drive a net zero emissions energy system by 2050.
And finally, Ehsan, what's in store for 2022 for energy markets and the transition?
Sunna, as 2021 draws to a close, we envisage the prospect of the world using more fossil fuels, more new energy sources, and scaling up carbon abatement technologies in 2022. So really a more of everything model that screeches more of energy and not the step changes that climate hawks had hoped for post COP26. Now for us, much of that has to do with the backdrop of a global recovery still fragile to setbacks from COVID-19 and the current energy crunch. So some more details here. So the energy sources are not typically explicitly mentioned at COP communiques, but coal use and fossil fuel subsidies got focus at COP26. Behind this is the fact that meaningful and sharp falls in global emissions needed to contain temperature rises will need to primarily come from sharp reductions in fossil fuel use in the coming decades. Now on coal, the focus at COP26 was centered around the fact that it is the most emissions intensive fossil fuel, and that is it continues its use at scale across the world, is primarily among the largest impediments to achieving global CO2 reduction goals, not to mention a major contributor to local air pollution. It is also one of the most economically and technologically most addressable parts of the energy system. And now major coal consumers have pledged to lower relative use, but not necessarily absolute levels in the near term. On oil, due to the mobility intensive impacts of COVID-19, oil was evidently the hardest hit of the energy commodities in 2020, with US crude prices, in fact, transitorily becoming negative. As we embark on a new year, oil demand has staged a marked recovery, and our forecast is for oil demand to be back to pre-pandemic levels of around 100 million barrels per day in the coming months. And we believe that oil demand could, in fact, move towards 102 million barrels per day by 2023 before plateauing thereafter, although somewhat negligibly. On natural gas, well, the most visible effect of the global energy crunch has been natural gas prices, which has had a number of knock-on effects on other commodities such as gas to coal switching and pushing up carbon prices, dampening some industrial activity as well as putting a strain on electricity markets, with natural gas a clearing and marginal price-setting fuel for some countries. Now, since COP26, we have seen new LNG project sanctions, namely the $12 billion Scarborough gas development and the Pluto Train 2 expansion in Western Australia. Granted, these will not be in service for some years, but it is a testament of the importance of gas in the future energy mix. Finally, on renewables and new energy, well, we see this as going from strength to strength, despite wondering where low carbon forms of energy fit with fossil fuel demand rebounding so robustly. And the answer is that despite current challenges in project execution and cost push inflation, we see 2022 have more renewable and new energy developments as net zero endeavors gather pace. And on the more mature end of the clean energy spectrum, that is about increasing deployment of cost competitive technologies. And for more emerging routes, it concerns the acceleration in the journey of cost down and scale up that is needed to drive adoption. And here we see solar and wind dominating as we go into next year.
Thanks very much for sharing that insight, Ehsan. Have a lovely week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Anna. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.